going to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today we start a bit late because of traffic. We just arrived. Okay, so today is 10 October 2024, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, Unique Dhamma Code, Straight from the Heart. And we are at unique code number 130. Okay, as usual, let us gather and we will have our physical puja. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pusa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pusa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pusa. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Ven Su Pusa. Namo Ven Su Pusa. Namo Ven Su Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We shall continue from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarappa ditena ditena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sukang hina. Puja me puja niyantang puja bhajanamuttamam. สุมาสันตตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสปาดาสโรโรเหปูเจมิบดังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเจโหตุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิทังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสภาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปาริกาปิตังAnukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamangอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Now we chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings.Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma.That cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujem. Vedang Pujem. Damang Pujem. Sanghang Pujem. As usual, we are off the light so that you all can have your.Half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So remember the four support. The first three, especially, is to relax body and mind. Whatever arises, just maintain awareness. That is the second support. Then stabilizing this awareness means don't try to know, don't try to do. Whatever activity of mind will create the stirring of the mind. So our purpose is to develop this inner awareness which is without thought. So no thought-based doing or knowing. Because whatever that we want to do or know, it is always from the thought, and the thought has to arise. And when thought is active, there can be no sati or awareness within. So we just maintain awareness. Whatever arises, away, finish. As a human being, we have the physical body that has the six basic senses, physical senses. Then when there is this consciousness that is trapped inside, when it maintains contact with the sense bases, including the sense data that imprint upon the sense bases, it will trigger off like the physics experiment. The light bulb lights up, which means it will trigger off consciousness. It's like make you conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So as a human being, we can have this mind that is capable of being conscious. That's why consciousness is a very special entity that living being can arise. And especially for us human beings, our consciousness are quite developed, quite evolved. And this ability to be conscious is a very special gift. Through eons and eons of causes and conditions and evolution, we have developed the ability to become conscious. Then not only become conscious, after that, the thinking, the thought process, the mundane activity of mind, they become possible. Then there is also another nature inside there that can be aware of what is going on, what arises. Yeah. So there are two aspects to consciousness. One is before the content goes in, which is the pure consciousness or the pure awareness. And because our sense basis, our consciousness trapped inside and the sense data, when these three come into contact, then it will trigger the respective sense door consciousness. And the moment you become conscious, you can actually develop a few movements. Either you stay with your awareness nature to develop the ability to be aware of what is going on. That is the most important. That is what awareness-based meditation is all about. So develop the ability to relax, maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Then no more thinking. The mind becomes relaxed, quiet and peaceful. Then the awareness is just like a weakness. Then the nature weakness, everything that arises and pass away, how things arise and how things pass away. Then when you are able to do that, you will develop what we call wisdom. We are seeing things as they are. We are your ability to insight into phenomena through the silent mind, the pure awareness nature. Then all this will trigger wisdom that can awaken the mundane mind, the individual, and you can realize the truth which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Okay, so now with this, I will let you meditate on your own. So develop it, stabilize it, then maintain the inner awareness until it's very stable. The mind on its own will settle down and become very quiet and very still. So the silent mind that observes all this movement will develop clear understanding. So this awareness-based meditation is very important. You cannot be aware, you cannot be heedful. And if you cannot be heedful, the heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. You cannot develop the meditative wisdom and understanding. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadang dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta namo attassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo attassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo attassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa itti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vijja charana sampanno sukato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sandhittiko kaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatam veditabho vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakka sangho ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakka sangho nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakka sangho samijjipatipanno bhagavato sakka sangho yadidam chatari purisa yukkane atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakka sangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyam ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 36 of this book. Straight from the heart, unique Dhamma code written by me. We are at unique code 130. So this one is a definition which is very useful. What is a phenomena? So this word phenomena is a very important word. So if you look up the dictionary, I think it is also defined this way. But this one is very suitable for Dhamma practices to develop the understanding of Dhamma. So what is a phenomenon? Anything perceivable by the mind or the senses is a phenomenon. So for our mind to function, we need the senses. So whatever perception that arises via our thought process or our senses that trigger of perception, that is a phenomenon. So whatever living being can perceive, that is a phenomenon. So initially, in the early days, I think most people may not understand the English word's meaning of a phenomenon. But generally, like understood what is, there is a movement, then there is a phenomenon, but not necessary. Whatever one perceives, that is a phenomenon. Yeah. The perception has to arise from the mind. We are the senses. Without the senses, there can be no consciousness. And without consciousness, there can be no what we call perception. So to understand that, maybe we come back to the whiteboard. As I explained last Thursday, the physics experiment, this one is very useful. So our sense bases, together with our consciousness trapped inside, the way they manifest consciousness is similar. That's why we call it the physics experiment analogy. So in our, I think, Form 1 for our education system, we study science. Then we usually have this physics experiment that we do in the lab. We have a battery, then we have the circuit, then we have a switch. Then there is a what we call a light bulb. Normally they will put it onto the circuit. Then if everything is working, functioning, you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. So the lighting up of the light bulb is similar to how our senses become conscious. How we become conscious of what we see through our eye, seeing consciousness. Then conscious of what we hear through our hearing, our ear, hearing consciousness. Then similarly for the other senses, we can be aware of what we smell, what we taste, what we tactilely feel, and how we think and arise the thought process. So if you understand this, then the mind within our physical body, with the consciousness trapped inside, it manifests consciousness in a similar way. If our mind is at one of the senses, let's say you are at the eye organ, that one is responsible for the seeing consciousness. So the sense data is you need light to bring the external sense data in. So external sense data can be in the form of color, shape and form, or whatever that the light can bring in. can be scenery or something that you can see. So that lighting up of the bulb is similar to the consciousness that arises. You become conscious of whatever you see, conscious of whatever you hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. So that is the uniqueness of a human being. We can become conscious. And the moment you become conscious, the Buddha said, in the seeing initially, it's only the consciousness, like the light bulb it lights up. Means the seeing consciousness. No one to see yet. No content has gone in yet. But the moment that content goes in, that content is normally born of our thought process, which is dependent on our brain, where the memory is. So through the brain, the memory, we accumulated a lot of things, our knowledge, our experiences, and our phobia, our fear, or whatever, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. So we accumulate them. Then from there, when we become conscious, we act from there, which is delusion. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Yeah, that is all memory. A memory is not wisdom. So what happened is, since birth until now, most living beings, they use the brain a lot. They use their memory, which consists of views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, including all your phobia, your scars of memory, your insecurity, your anxiety, your fear, your worry, your sorrow, all the accumulated experiences. So all this develop. Then at the moment of sense experience, like seeing consciousness, it's actually that consciousness only. In the seeing, there's only that seeing consciousness. No one to see it. But the moment you use your brain, that brain, before it become enlightened, it don't have the wisdom, it's egoic. That's why you have the egoic mind manifesting. And the egoic mind will make you deludedly believe that you exist. This so-called human being is you. That's why the sakkayadity arises, self-delusion, the personality, the ego. And when this arises, it will condition you to believe you want to own things, and you can have things, you can possess things, you can control things, and you can do a lot of things. So this ego is the one that is responsible for the evil roots of greed, possessiveness, selfishness, emotional negativity, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So all these are what the Buddha called the three evil roots. When your thought manifests with this type of content that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then that thought is wrong thought, has sakkayadity, born of self-delusion. So what happened is, at every moment of sense experience, can be from any of the senses, there is an aggregate of mind that we call perception. And this is the one that is responsible for knowing things. Because through your memory, you have a lot of accumulated knowledge. And whatever you perceive via your knowledge, you can interpret them. That's why you can name them. The word arise, the concept, the idea, the meaning, they all arise. So perception is the one that actually enables you to perceive the world, to see all the phenomena within the world. That's why we define phenomena as anything perceivable by our mind, via our senses. So now you start to understand. Perception is very important. That's why that Pali word is sanya. And this is the one that brings the external form into our mind. That's why basically our mind has four aggregates. The aggregate of feeling, perception, mental activity or sankhara, mental states. Then our mind is also capable of becoming conscious. That's why we have consciousness. So at the mind level, we have four aggregates. Vedana, sanya, sankhara and vijnanam. Then how did the external form enter the mind? It entered the mind through perception. When you perceive, you bring the external form in. That's why every moment of perception and content of consciousness, that trigger of the thought, that thought is the five area of forming mind. This is the one that is taught in the Paticca Samuppada. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya namarupa. That is the five aggregate of forming mind, the second aspect. The first aspect is as a human being. Yeah? As a human being. We have a physical body trapped inside. Chemically trapped inside is the mind or consciousness. And we call this the consciousness since birth that is trapped inside. And because of this consciousness, it's like the battery. It has the power. Then this one need energy to operate. That's why it's like the battery. Then this energy comes from a few sources. One of them is through our breathing, prana. Yeah. Then the other one is through our food we eat, the air we breathe. Then finally, of course, is the life force, the heartbeat. Without the heartbeat, to pump the heart, there is no life force. And this life force is energy to actually strengthen your consciousness. That's why at every moment of life force arising, it pumps the heart. It sends the blood to nourish the organ. Then it develops the movement, the process for the human being to animate into a living form. Then it can also use the energy through food, through prana, and through the life force to trigger off perception, to input the content of consciousness, to stir your mind, to become emotional and all those things. So basically, this is how you function as a human being. And because you have the senses, it can develop the causes and conditions for the consciousness, respective six sense bases, the six type of sense-based consciousness to arise. That's why every moment of sense experience, you can become conscious. Then you can input the content of consciousness. Then you can stir your mind, react, and do a lot of things. But there is another aspect, which is the pure awareness. If you are not a cultivator, not a meditator, and you don't know how to stabilize this, then you cannot use this. Then at the moment of consciousness, you only use your aggregate of mind, the mundane aggregate of the mundane mind, to feel, to perceive, to think, to develop mental states, or what we call emotions. Yeah. Then, of course, we can also use it to trigger consciousness, to make us conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So this aspect of activity that goes on within our form and mind is what we call Dhamma. Then this Dhamma can only be understood and awakened to if we have awareness sati. Without that, you can't. So coming back to the unit code 130, the question is, what is a phenomena? So a phenomena is anything that your mind, through your senses, can perceive. So what can your mind perceive? Huh? What can your mind perceive? So that you understand what phenomena is. What can your mind perceive? Yeah? Of course, through your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought. But basically, all these phenomena you can classify into three. What are they? Huh? What are the three types of phenomena? What can you perceive through your mundane mind or thinking? You can perceive my voice, eh? True or not? The whiteboard, this house, everything that is within, through your senses, eh? So what are the things you perceive? First one is what? First house phenomena is what? Physical phenomena, understand or not? Well, all your physical activity and movement is a phenomena. That's why kaya anupasana, the awareness of activity, movement, standing aware, sitting aware, walking aware, lying down aware. That all this physical phenomena is within our physical body, understand? Blinking of our eye. That's why the Buddha in the Satipatthana Sutta under kaya anupasana, he said, sati sampajana, it means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all activity within the present moment. Means standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, turning, stretching aware. When you put on your shoulder cloth, all your activity and movement. And this is kaya. Awareness and the activity as one. So the first type of phenomena to arise is what we call physical phenomena. So we can perceive all our physical activity on what we call physical phenomena. Then we have mental phenomena. All our mental activity and movement is also a phenomena. So three types. Number three is, this one cover the rest. Whatever that is beyond the form and mind is nature's phenomena. So now you understand how we classify them. So physical phenomena is for you to understand physical activity and movement. So this one under kaya anupasana is very important. The mental phenomena is for you to see your mind states, your mental intention, your mental activity, thinking, thought process, then your whatever mental states, or sometimes we call it emotion, the state of mind, whether it's calm, peaceful, restless, or there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is greed, selfishness, possessiveness, or envy, jealousy. So whatever that is within the mental, you can be aware, you can perceive them. So these are the three types of phenomena. Then externally, out of the form and mind, you no longer have the physical and mental phenomena. You only have nature's phenomena. So nature's phenomena are everything within nature, like the fan's movement, the vibration from your aircon, or your engine, or whatever, or sound, music, everything. So nature's phenomena, you can also perceive them, like smell, everything, through your senses. Yeah. Things that arise from external, within nature, like your tree, the phenomena of a tree with its branches, leaf, or the breeze, the nature's wind activity, like now the hurricane. Yeah? Within the wind, it also creates a lot of movement, because the hurricane can actually create all the pressure difference and the cyclonic movement. then it can create actually what they call a cyclone, huh? And it can cause a lot of damages and disruption. Then we also have the moving car. The moving car, when you're aware of it, is also a phenomenon. But most people perceive, then the word come out. So phenomena is related to perception, which is physical, mental, and nature. But when you are aware from your pure awareness nature, you don't perceive phenomena. You are aware of phenomena. You are aware of the physical phenomena. That's why awareness and mindfulness, they are very different from what you perceive. What you perceive is perception within the mind. And that one is a phenomena. But when you don't perceive, your awareness is with it, that is specific phenomenal awareness. Then that one is, you are aware of the physical activity, mental activity, means the silent mind observe. The silent mind to awareness is with the physical activity, with the mental activity that arise. That's why you can see things as they are and develop the wisdom and the understanding. You can also insight in the phenomena. You can also see nature's phenomena or be aware of nature's movement and activity and phenomena. That's why when it comes to awareness, mindfulness, it's very important that we can have two types of awareness, sati. One is specific phenomenal awareness, which I have explained just now. The other one is spacious awareness without a center. That one, your entire nature is one with the oneness nature. Everything that is within it can be understood or can be like your nature, the awareness nature is with it. It's like the oneness nature. You are one with everything. And these are the only way you can develop wisdom and understanding. That's why without the pure awareness, sati or mindfulness, inner awareness, you cannot meditate. You cannot develop wisdom. So this definition of phenomena is very important, very useful. So I hope by now you can have better understanding of what is a phenomena. That's why the Buddha separate the word sanya out. Feeling and perception are very important within the 52 mind state, or what we call sankhara. So sankhara has 52, where it includes feeling and perception. And when you understand why feeling and perception are so important, where in the teaching, the Buddha actually use it a lot under the four foundations of mindfulness. It explains the five aggregates of form and mind, and using perception to let you understand that you can bring in the external form through the perception aggregate. When you perceive, you already know the labeling. That's why don't try to know, don't try to do. Means in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, the consciousness that manifests, no one to see. And that is what the direct seeing is all about. Nobody see. The awareness nature is not a being, it's seeing as they are. Understand or not? As they are means seeing the reality without words, without concept, without idea. So all this labeling hasn't come out yet. Means like the baby, newborn baby, you see things as they are. No word to describe the thing or the color or the knowledge to actually trigger off the words that allow you to perceive. So all this is what meditation is. When you understand all this, through your meditative experiential understanding, then you really understand the teaching for what it is. No more a knowledge. No more just Dhamma words and knowledges. That one is through your pure awareness. You come upon it. Just like last Tuesday sharing, when Song saw the pure perception, the direct seeing. No word, nothing. Just like that. So if you stabilize your pure awareness nature, you can develop the ability. And later on, when your mundane mind collapses, that one becomes even clearer, easier to comprehend. Okay, we move on to the next unique code. The next unique code, there are three basic phenomena. That is physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, which I have covered. That's why just I ask you, what are the things that you can become aware of, or shouldn't be the word aware of? What can you perceive so that you can know? You can perceive whatever that arises within the phenomenal world. And the best way to categorize them is through the physical phenomena. I mean, physical is your form, physical body. Then your mental phenomena within your five aggregate of form and mind. Then whatever that you can perceive that is external of your form and mind is called nature's phenomena. Means it covers the rest. So these three, once you develop the understanding, then easy for you to understand why I always refer to the fourth circle as the phenomenal world of consciousness. Because from the pure awareness, which is the first thing to come out from the source, from your Buddha nature or whatever, then this one creates the mundane mind, the mundane thinking. And this mundane mind, they are trapped within your physical body. So this physical body has its senses. So this one is a human being, okay? Human being, yeah. So the human being got two aspects, the five degrees of form and mind. First aspect as a human being, second aspect as a thought, okay? And because of this sense basis inside, it can trigger off, upon contact, the respective sense door consciousness. That's why this consciousness that arises is like a illusionist or magician. They create magic, the analogy that the Buddha said. So it creates the phenomenal world of illusion. Or somebody they call it the existential world, the illusionary world. So all these are the Dhamma categorization of all this. Yeah. And when you understand them, then you understand life. And this mundane mind is for you to live life. This one is a tool. This is a what they call vehicle, the five aggregate of form and mind, the human being. So these two combine, the form and mind, enable you to arise within the existential world. And this is your vehicle and this is your tool. And you use them, but not to be deluded by them or deceived by them. So this process of arising of consciousness, which is the phenomenal world of consciousness or the illusionary world of consciousness, or we call it the conditioned arising world. And sometimes they call it the existential world. And this is where everything happens. That's why when you understand the word phenomena, then you will understand clearly what this phenomenal world is all about. Well, within this phenomenal world, everything that you can come to perceive, the physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, they are all there. That's why all of life, all of existence, they are there. And this is the chaotic world where you don't have the Dhamma. You can be entangled, you can be deceived, deluded, you will grasp, you will cling, and you will get yourself entangled. You will suffer. And this is why I say, this phenomenal world, or conditioned world, or illusion world, is very enticing. It can entice you, it can lure you, and condition you to deludedly grasp, cling, and hold, and give meaning, and cause all your suffering. That's why the five aggregates of grasping, the grasping aggregate, upajnana khandas, is dukkha. And all this can be understood if you develop the mindfulness and the awareness to see how your mundane mind stir and react upon sense experience. The moment you perceive, then your views, opinion, conditioning come in and stir your mind. That movement, you must see it in your own consciousness, in your own form of mind. Then you understand clearly what is going on within you. And that is self-knowledge. You will start to understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human. And this is where wisdom can arise. Without this silent mind observing the pure awareness, having the ability to insight into phenomena or sitting as they are and awaken, you can never develop the wisdom to be enlightened. Okay? So here, the second unique code, which is unique code 131, it complements 130. So 130 is defining for you what is a phenomena. So I repeat, anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. And what other thing you can perceive in the world? Whatever that is within the form of mind and outside of it. So whatever that is within the form of mind, the physical phenomena is within our physical body, kaya. That's why we have the physical phenomena. Then we have the mental phenomena, the five aggregates, the content of consciousness. Then we have the external phenomena, means nature's phenomena, that is outside of the form of mind. Okay, then the next one is, this one is very important, unique code 132. I read to you and hopefully you all can develop the understanding. When you meditate with the awareness, you will come to this understanding. There is no permanent unchanging entity behind every phenomenon. That is why it is just a phenomenal world of consciousness created by mind, the mundane mind. Hence, not so real and not what you think or not what one thinks. So this one, to see there is not a permanent unchanging entity is very important. You remember, in the early day I teach you how to see form, the unreality of form, then how to see beyond form. All the form within nature. Then how to see mind, the unreality of mind, so that you can see beyond mind. When you see its unreality, you will be able to see beyond. So when you can see beyond form, beyond mind, then what do you see? Huh? Beyond the form and mind, what else? You see things as they are. Yeah. You see truth, you see reality, you see what is. So this one is a very important understanding. When you can see beyond the physical form, then beyond the mundane mind, that all of us is the same. We have a nature inside there. Our pure awareness nature. And that one is without word, the unconditioned. So when you can see beyond form and beyond mind, you see truth. You see the reality. You see what is tatata, suchness. That is what the Buddha meant by seeing things as they are. So earlier on, I already taught you, form is unreal. Why? Because form is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, like this table, this chair, everything that you can come to perceive, the external form. How did they arise? How did they arise? Through what? We have gone through so many rounds, the blocker analogy. How do they arise? Through causes and conditions, isn't it? Like the table. You need the carpenter. You need the raw material. You need all these things that you need to develop it or build it up. This chair is the same. They are all conditioned arising entity. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. It exists because the sustaining condition, or what we call the supporting condition, is still there, supporting it. Mind is the same. Like the Buddha said, the five aggregate, the physical body, the feeling, the perception, the sankhara, and the consciousness. They arise and pass away, they come and go. They are dependent, originating, because we have a physical body with a sense basis, that upon contact with the consciousness that is trapped inside and the life force, then it triggers what we call the respective sense-based consciousness that make us animate into a human being, so that we can be conscious of life, conscious of what we see, we hear, we smell, we taste, we tactile, feel and think. And that is what you are. That is how you know the world, how you interact with the world, how you animate into a human being. But is it real? Are you a permanent, unchanging entity? No. You can see that. But through your mindfulness and awareness, you see every phenomenon is like that. They come and they go. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why the Paticca Samuppada is a very powerful teaching. When you are mindful, aware, you can see them. You can see the manifestation, the movement, the activity within your five aggregate of form and mind. And that's how you function as a human being. That's how you stir your mind, develop the emotion, the illusion, the wrong view, the sakkayadity, and you constantly input the wrong content of consciousness, which means you have not developed the wisdom to enable you to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, so that you can have the embodiment of all the noble qualities that can allow you to develop the true understanding to live life. Because these Noble Eightfold Path are all the noble qualities or power factors that the enlightened being possess. That's why without the mindfulness, the Dhamma understanding, you cannot understand all this, and you cannot develop all this, you cannot awaken to all this. So if they are dependent, originating, condition arising, like all external form, which we have gone through, then your mind also, you learn to see mind, the mundane manifestation. Then you learn to see the unreality of mind, because they are all mind state, impermanent, they come and go, they are dependent, originating. So like all the aggregates we already gone through, feeling arise and pass away, you didn't die. How can it be you? That feeling, when you perceive, through your views, opinion, and conditioning, you stir your mind, then the pleasant and unpleasant feeling arise, because this is duality. Whatever you like, you label it as pleasant feeling. Whatever you don't like, you label it as ill will or unpleasant feeling. Yeah. So sensual desire, ill will, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant feeling, they are all your mind states that cause the movement to your wrong view, sakkayadity. So when you understand all this, at the moment of perception is very important. You act according to memory, conditioning, belief system, then you are not acting at all, where there is not wisdom. That's why you must act according to Dhamma way, which is the wisdom way. When you have awakened to the Dhamma understanding, then you will act based on that understanding, which is wisdom. So acting according to wisdom is the true action or true way of acting. You don't act according to memory, where that one is knowledge, rubbish, full of all the delusion. Your ill roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, even your phobia, your selfishness, your emotion, your envy, your jealousy, your bias, your what they call mental views, opinion, and conditioning, even your belief system, they trigger a lot of problem for living being. Especially their phobia, their insecurity, then their what they call fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, restlessness of mind. All these are within the memory. Your accumulated phobia and all those things, they are from memory. So when you are mindful and aware, you see all this, you understand all this, then you will never act according to memory anymore. That's why you bring your consciousness from your brain down to your heart area. Your heart area is where the gateway to your awareness, pure awareness nature. And from here, you are further away from the memory and the senses. Your physical senses, they are all in front of your forehead and your face. You realize they are very close to the memory. So when you move it to the heart area, that's why I say stay at the heart, don't go to the brain. And then you realize that is a new way of living. This is heedful living. You aware from here, you don't think from here. But later on, when you have the wisdom ready, you can also think from here. And these are all right thought, without the evil root, without the rubbish. Then you can also perceive and see things as they are, all from the pure awareness. No more from memory. So this understanding is very important. So after you have this ability to be aware, then you can use it to meditate. Then when you use it to meditate, you realize everything that you come to be aware of, not only perceive, early on is phenomena you perceive. When you become aware of physical phenomena, mental phenomena, and nature's phenomena, then you realize that they are all dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Without any causes and condition, nothing arises. That's why the Buddha used the word, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And now, with this explanation, you will understand it very clearly. So if it's all dependent originating phenomena, or condition arising phenomena, then how can it be a permanent unchanging entity? Then why did you deludedly grasp and cling on to it? It's like the block cut analogy. When the parts are taken away, then the block cut is gone, no more. But when you put them back, assemble them back, then it becomes a condition arising entity. Then you label it bulokka, where it can perform a function. And the concept of a bulokka arises. That to you exists already, you know, you think it's real. You know, but it's not a permanent entity, it's a dependent originating. When the causes and conditions are there, it arises, exists. So externally, the bulokka is already not so real, not what you think. Like the table and every phenomena you see in the entire existence, they are dependent originating condition. That's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity. If it's not a permanent unchanging entity, then why do you deludedly grasp and cling onto it? Because externally when you perceive them, it's already not what you think. It is not a permanent unchanging entity, dependent originating. Not so real. Then how do you know it's a blocker? Or how do you know it's that type of external form, like the human being and all those things? You know it through your perception, understand? You perceive it through your aggregates of mind. And when you perceive it, it's just an image in front. The mental image of perception. This is even more unreal, understand? Externally already dependent originating condition arising entity, not so real, not what you think. Then how do you know there is a blocker? Through your mental image. And this image is even more unreal, where it's not a physical thing at all, not tangible, it's just an image. Then why do you cling on to it, hold on to it, and give so much meaning? It's just like you perceive the human being. Then you extend it. The human being can be your loved ones. Understand? Can be your siblings, your good friend, your parents, your grandparents, your children, your grandchildren, and all those that have relationship with you. Good neighbor, good classmate, good colleague, good friends, and all those things. So all this is how you break free from sakkayatitti. You know within the conditioned world they exist, where we live in the existential world, which is a conditioned arising world. And all this appear real, but they are not what you think. Where these are all dependent arising or dependent originating phenomena. Not a permanent unchanging entity, and not what you think. If it's not a permanent unchanging entity, then why do you deludedly believe that it is real? It is what you think you are. Why did you cling onto the I, the ego, the personality? Then every moment of sense perception, every moment of seeing, you deludedly through sakkayajiti say, I see, therefore I am. Therefore all this is what it is. Then the ego arises. The three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion arise. You develop selfishness, possessiveness. You crave, you cling, you grasp, you hold. Then when you cannot get what you want, you become angry, emotional. Then hatred, envy, jealousy, they manifest. Then you become aggressive, violent. That's how your sankhara activity, mental states, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, become disruptive. Then when you got a problem, you develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Restlessness of mind. That's why most of the time you are heedless. You worry a lot. You cling on to a lot of things. And all this thought process that you cling on to, grasp on to, they start to haunt you. That's why you cannot sleep. You cannot become peaceful. you become restless, where they keep on arising, where these are your unfinished business or so-called problem that you haven't resolved. That's why when you have problem, means you don't have Dhamma. In this world, everything is just the way it is. Condition arising, Dhamma, phenomena, not what you think. Then when you do not have the Dhamma understanding to understand all this, that they are not real. That's why they exhibit the three universal characteristics of impermanent, where they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Without causes, they do not arise. So the first universal characteristic is impermanent. They follow the five pancha niyama, the nature's law that governs life and existence. And because of that, if it's impermanent, if you want things your way, which is not nature's condition or nature's manifestation, then what happens? You suffer, isn't it? You cannot get what you want, you shall suffer. Because what happened in the world is, like the Buddha said, when causes and conditions are already set, things will just be the way it is, cannot be otherwise. So everything follows nature's conditions, unfolding and manifesting, or manifestation. But if you want it through your own selfish, deluded way, you want things your way, which is not allowed by nature, then you suffer. That's why from impermanent, you will see suffering characteristic, dukkha. Yeah. Then because it's impermanent and suffering, how can it be a permanent unchanging entity where you can grasp onto, cling onto and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's why you will see the anatta nature, the non-self nature. Then if it's anatta nature, non-self nature, he know you, he know me, then what is happening? Everything is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, not what you think. That's why we call it emptiness, empty nature of existence. Emptiness doesn't mean that nothingness, no. Emptiness means not a permanent unchanging entity. It's dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. It's just a phenomenal world of consciousness arising and passing away. Like my teacher said, mighty nature rolling by, following its nature's law. There is no reality in between. So all this that happened, you cannot deny since birth until now, whatever you experience happened. But I ask you one question, are they real? Not what you think of it. Because whatever arises is within the moment. And moment to moment, things arise and pass away. And how stable is the moment, the present moment? Split second is dead and gone. Split second. And that is the only reality. Keep on arising and passing away. So because we have a mundane mind, we can perceive it. We can recall through memory. That's why the Mandarin song, 往事只能回味, is very meaningful. When I was very young, when I heard that song, I liked that song. Very meaningful. Where my nature can understand. So whatever that happens, you can only recall through memory. It's just memory. When the form and mind cease, the memory also ceases with it. Then how real can it be? Not what you think. So contemplate into all this, meditate on all this, then awaken and realize the deep underlying wisdom behind. And this will awaken your nature, will give rise to the enlightenment in the here and the now. Okay? Okay, we stop here. Okay, so we stop at 132. Our next one is unique code 133. Okay, now we come back to our second session, which is meditation reporting, if you have any, or question and answer session, Q&A. We can also discuss today's topic, which is very good, about the phenomena, the three types of phenomena, and how to understand the unreality of the phenomenal world of consciousness, the form and mind and all this thing.
Good evening, Brother Gio, Mrs. Gio, and all Kalamita. Brother Gio, Thursday sharing, and then Brother Gio gave me advice.
Ah, very good.
从中我也是学习到很多，因为我经过这一次的所谓的 experience 啊，你真的看到很清楚很多东西，很多东西你看到的非常清楚，就比方说那无常啊，就是那个无常，
无常、那个、啊，连带来苦，
对，是的，非常的。
明显，明显，
很深刻
啊，深刻，
很深刻，印象很深刻
啊。It go into your nature, it let you understand, 非常的清楚的，
非常的清楚。就好像 Brad 就刚才讲到的那个，我们就是每一天就是 fight aggregate，
因缘法吗 ？Manifestation 而已。
在因缘法manifest， and then after that 我们 six senses pick up whatever， 然后就开始看到的遥控讲一下，听到的
全部在那个 mundane mind 的 activity 罢了，脑袋里面转来转去了，but when you have the awareness and the wisdom, you see all this movement very clearly. That's how you understand the true meaning of life and existence.The conditioned world and how the conditioned Dhamma manifests. So it's only through all this understanding and your pure awareness nature's ability to insight into phenomena to realize the unconditioned Dhamma, then you combine these two, then you understand the totality of life and existence, then you know how to live life.Then only you can be free from all the entanglement within life, within the conditioned world. So all this is what the Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha is capable of. That's why 他这种修行 or cultivation, when you can realize it, it becomes very, very beautiful. And the understanding is very unique, veryProfound and very deep in its understanding. That's why, like what you went through, after that you become so different. Whatever the world say, not important. Because what your nature went through is really beautiful. Alicia, you continue.
Radio, 真的，因为。他就是在那个刹那里面给你看到的，
对的那个
无常，就是你就是刹那，你就在那个比你的 four noble truth， like 你的 sickness 啊，你的身体的你的 mindset 全部的刹那都给你看到，
全部掀起来become clear。
所以你更加的怎样讲，你很 determined 的，真的是要怎样讲，就是继续这样
修develop the understanding until it become very very different, until 那个 understanding become very extensive, very extensive.
是的，就因为怎么样说呢？因为这个 form and mind 虽然说是来怎样讲，很 fragile， 真的很 vulnerable 啊，就是 time 你就是如果一个不小心
很容易灭掉的
对，都非常的容易灭掉，而且 怎么样说？就是你 before 你可以怎么样讲？before 你能够真正的到达你所要的目的地之前呢、啊，你可
对。
能 before 你的 destination，我讲的就是 like no。但是我们作为一个under training 这个修行哦，我们也不能太说怎么样讲，就说来，就是那天就是有一天早上我在我的morning，我还没有正式出来，就说还有一点就是在 awareness 里面，给我的 message 是你不可以太过抓着那个 dharma。
That one also a very important understanding.
他是给我安置下，他说一切都要according 说你不能
Yeah,
太执。
because finally the one that actually free is wisdom, not the Dhamma. The Dhamma is like the finger pointing at the moon, the finger. And that finger is not the moon. What you want to realize is the moon. So it's just like the analogy of the raft, RAFT, yeah? When it takes you across the river or the ocean to the other shore, then you don't carry the raft with you. And although the Dhamma is the one that gives rise to the wisdom that enables you to cross, but you don't cling on to the Dhamma. Your Dhamma are just Dhamma, they are finger pointing towards the truth. The realization of the truth is most important. And that one, no need to remember one, like I tell you. If you have awakened to it, it is within your nature. You cannot lose touch of it, huh? Like the fifth patriarch Tou Huining. Yeah. The amazing thing about that nature is all Dhamma arise from that nature. Nothing is apart from that nature. And it's the unborn. Because it's the unborn, it never die. It cannot die. And that nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. So all this understanding will be there. Then the understanding or the wisdom is the one that free you. So as you go through the cultivation, like you say, chana chana, it will arise the understanding. But then cultivator of the way, initially when they don't have proper teacher or guide that can guide them, they will have a tendency to attach to the Dhamma. They hold on to it. And they like it so much. Actually, it's nothing wrong. If we can bring forth the wisdom, then ultimately you also have to come to a realization that there is nothing real. That's why wu xiang. First you realize no thought, wu nian. Then after you penetrate, then you realize there is no mark of anything, no mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of phenomena, no mark of the Four Noble Truths, the conditioned world, or the existential world. Everything within existence is not what you think. You are this. Are dependent originating condition within the condition world or phenomenal world of consciousness. And consciousness come and go. And they are the manifestation from the mundane mind. So all manifestation are unreal, Anasana. It's just like creation. From causes and conditions it arise. Then when causes and conditions cease to be, it cease to be. And everything is like a flow, mighty nature rolling by. That's why it's very vast, unending, limitless, not what you think. So once the process is been triggered, the universe is the way it is, what we observe and what we can come to understand, even through science and all these things. So all this, as you cultivate, you will develop the clear understanding and you will know how to maneuver beyond. Very good. 好啊，你慢慢经过这些啊。
Yeah, brother，因为就是我们要经历了，然后就 想讲，就是他给我们知道这个，因为我
对，
们要入群很多的群，因为每一个 condition 是让我们先给我们去学习的一个平台，就是你经过了这个时候，哦，原来你知道，如果是这样的情形，你会这样子，然后
对。
慢慢从中就经意识你就长一智了。Of course，你还是要 contemplate like what Brian 就讲。
Until very, very clear, huh?
然后我
因为
又体会，
他这个 wisdom 啊，keep on evolving on 哦。Then as you understand more deeper, then the manifestation that come out with the future understanding is even deeper on 哦，and it keep on unfolding on。And 它是很神奇的，所以你不到那一段呢，你不能够了解。So a lot of people who don't have the understanding, they think to become the sainthood way leading to Arahantship is already very, very magnificent and very beautiful, and that is what they want. But when you come to understand the whole process of cultivation, then you realize the sainthood way is just the provisional understanding, the provisional teaching. There are a lot of things within life and existence that can be understood, cultivated, and perfected, and live. The word is live. They have not actually gone through. That's why 它真的不一样了. So 修行子 who really go through this path, the Bodhisattva way, to perfect themselves to become Sammasambuddha, they were known. There is no comparison at all. The sainthood way, actually, you cannot blame the Mahayana for saying that it's still a very, very preliminary, or we call it the provisional teaching, the essential Dhamma teaching, enough to free, that's it. So, like what we discuss and share through the Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. According to the sutta at that time, the Buddha actually, during various phases of the teaching of the skillful means of provisional teaching, they use the word scolded and reprimanded the three vehicle, the sound hearer, the Pachika Buddha, and the Bodhisattvas, but when it comes to the Bodhisattva, he praised them. Is it? You are not bad, is it? But the other two, he really reprimanded them. Because he said, "You only interested in freeing your mind, means saving yourself. Finish. There are a lot more things that you can develop as cultivation, wisdom, and understanding, to let you understand a lot of things." Life, existence, and the full movement. That's why he said ultimately he teach the complete teaching, or what we call the ultimate supreme vehicle teaching. So all this, as you develop more and more of the Mahayana Bodhisattva way cultivation, the understanding will transform you and make you very different. Then you see it very clearly. The sainthood way is really very, very minor compared to the Bodhisattva way, which is very extensive and very, of course, it take a long time, eons and eons and eons of birth and death. And continuous manifestation to develop all the perfection, the understanding, to go through existence, to understand clearly the whole of creation. So all this is what Sammasambuddhahood is capable of. When you complete the training, when you can become the fully enlightened one, Sammasambuddha. They call it Samyasambhogi. Your nature will become different. Then that one can understand everything. And that is the most beautiful development that is possible for mankind or human being or living being. How? Very good.
Yeah, brother. Actually, 我们当下我们就是我自己本身，我去 Brazil 那边，其实是因为 because of 那个烦恼嘛。
对。
然后靠那个烦恼，但是他走着走着，然后 Brazil 的 guidance 就是 guide 我们去拿那个布里萨达包。And from 那个他就培养你那个慈悲心。
对。
从那个慈悲心他又进入另外一个阶段、哦、
对
你就来同体大悲，就是你看到别人 suffer 你也觉得哎呦，
对，
你就是那个 training 的时候你会觉得哎呀，你就会发起那个什么那个大悲心，然后
yeah, 大悲心
他就 transform 你的 nature、哦、
yeah, otherwise 你的 nature heart 那边不会开的你要 go to the Bodhisattva way, the Bodhisattva vow and other things, then 那个自卑心大自卑那些 the what they call the great compassion, they will manifest. Then 它 really open up your nature. Then only that manifestation can move you to cultivate the awareness-based nature or meditative training.To go through all the stages of Bodhi mind development. So when you can clear the first and second Bodhi mind development, you are considered not bad already. But the one that can make you like very sure so that you will not fall back is the Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature. The third stage of Bodhi mind development. And once youunderstand that and able to cultivate to completion of that, then you rest assured you will never fall back. And you know what that nature is. That's why after that, the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development is the Bodhi mind that can renounce samsara. Then after that, you are destined to complete the 10 perfection to realize Samasambuddhahood. Wow, very good. Today's condition also manifests all this
understanding. Yeah, yeah. Because, 因为就是有一个凯尔米达，之前他有问我，你当时你怎么样进去你的 gateway？ 我说我不知道。我说我只知道那时候我的心里面，就是我的 nature 好像就是他很心系终身，就好像他有。个愿，一直好像我就好像觉得哇，如果我能够培养自己的智慧，我也希望弘法这样子的，有这样子的一个愿，然后他
yeah, 那个愿很重要，
对，他就慢慢就lead我进去那个所谓的 gateway。
Yeah,
我说也不知道怎么样，但是你问我，我是知道我当下的，就是因为。因为也有一个 message， 我在 India 的时候，我坐在布达旁边 meditate， 说要慈眼视众生，他这个 message 给我，所以我就这样子一路走过来。还有就是 Brother Dio 能够德文那个妙法莲华经哦，
yeah, yeah.
我真的是很多的 gratitude， 因为
yeah, yeah.
我做梦也没有想到我能够 you know 能够。读这个 Sutta，
对对对，
就是好像怎样讲 ，It's like a gems to me， you know， like，
对呀呀，发梦都发梦不到的，
对，是的，
Beyond your wildest dream to like able to go this way to cultivate it so beautifully， 比如我记得你是以前 because of the 16 years of depression， then。Your karmic conditioning, then your way is you got to go through all this, and at the same time is to repay some of your past karmic thing. But then it manifests beautifully so that you can come into contact with my nature to learn this teaching. Because for you, it's actually very difficult to teach you at that time, and other people cannot teach you. Because what you go through is very different. Then, because of past causes and conditions, that's why you managed to come. And the first day you came in, I remember the Tuesday class, when Vincent and the wife, they actually introduced you to come. I sense what happened to you. That's why that night, the Tuesday class, I share the first and second noble truth. Then I can see towards the end of the sharing, you like, there is a joy on your face, like you see light at the end of the tunnel. Then after that, you like become very interested, because for the first time, you know, you can understand and relate to your problem, because nobody can explain all this to you. What you went through, the suffering and all those things, then you can relate to what I share, especially the first and second noble truth, the reality of the eight condition and how it grabs you, cling you. Then from there, you keep on chasing after the recording from Suyan. Then after that, in between, of course, you attend classes, retreat. Then you also find it not easy, because like a lot to read, a lot to develop as understanding. But the causes and conditions all fall into place. Then the best was when I have the condition to teach you all about the awareness-based meditation, the four support. I think you and some Kayamita, including Poching or what, you all develop the faith and the understanding. Then you really go and try it. Then you're able to stabilize your awareness. That's how you detected your gateway, together with your great compassion and all those things, the vow and all those things. Then I remember where you Mandarin educated on your own, you read the sutta, the Mandarin version of the sutta. Then when you read, based on what I have taught you, you can understand and you penetrate very fast. That's why that time when you relax and maintain awareness, you can go in deep into your nature. Then when you detect the gateway to go in, well, you yourself may not recall. But what happened is very beautiful, because if you have not detected the gateway, all your yin-yang energy external cannot melt inside one. It cannot go in, and you cannot go into the awareness nature so deep like what you described. So all these are the past causes and conditions. Then the affinity that you have with all the great beings, they help you a lot. Especially Kuan Yin, Ti Sang Wang, Fusa, and some of the other great beings. Because you have affinity with them too. And when your faith is very strong, all this cultivation, they actually take a different understanding. You become like, wow, your whole heart there open up, the emotion, everything. Like you used to use the word the Farsi sing and all those things. Together with the great compassion, 那个大慈悲, 你发那个愿, all the vows, your focus at that time, where you understand suffering very well. You were caught in it for 16 years in a depressive state as a what they call patient who go through depression, went through depression, and you seek psychiatrist. And the suffering during those years was so intense until no need to describe or explain to you what suffering is. You know what they are. Then you can see the defilement. Immediately you say, go liao. You have actually deceived me and deluded me for the past 16 over years. And now, once that understanding comes, all this wrong thought or defilement, they cease to be. We have the habitual tendency that condition you to think that way like last time and make you miserable and suffer and afflicted, that one all cease to be. That's how you recovered. Then when you recovered, the karmic negativity is gone. Where true wisdom, they cannot continue to haunt you. Where true wisdom, it has no power over you. And karmic is like that. When it has no power over your form and mind, it will reverse. And then the good conditioning and affinity and the cultivation from the past, they start to manifest, appear. Then your spiritual nature also, after you connect back, they also come back to you. That's how all this manifests and make what you are possible. Then from a human being that is so heedless with so much delusion and wrong thought, suffering and misery, you turn around and become so beautiful. And you develop the 360 degrees of transformation until you not only overcome your own suffering and misery, you can help a lot of people. You help, at first is of course Freddy and your family members, Freddy's side and some your side and your friends. And you start to actually help many Kayamitas too. So initially you also very good. I remember you every time seek advice from Song, and those who are able to develop the understanding, you go and seek their advice. Then you learn, then you very diligently cultivate, I remember. And later on, when you have the understanding at the retreat, you help a lot and you sacrifice a lot for the new people. Where in the early day, you also benefited from that. Then when you have the understanding, you do your duty and really pave the way for a lot of other new people or Kayamita to have the opportunity and condition to develop the cultivation and the understanding. And you have a lot of joy for seeing all things. And your sharing has helped a lot of people too. That's why all this, if you are observant, you have the mindfulness and the awareness, you will know. That's why my nature rejoiced when I saw you transform. Sadhu, Alicia.
Yeah, brother, sadhu. 其实真的很难的去用言语去
express 这些东西。
因为他的 right view, when 你 develop 了你没有那个 self-delusion, like,或者你会讲哦，人家为什么不叫这样？你不会说 self delusion 到你会讲，哎，为什么他会这样？为什么不能这样？这个事情为什么不能这样？因为他的 condition 是这样就这样。
对，very good。
是这样就这样了。
你
不会跟他就是说，来，如果在那边纠缠啊，或者哎呦，我觉得这个是最难的。最珍贵的一个就是学习布达达嘛，这个所谓的 right view 真的很重要。
Very important. Without right view, you go astray.
就你对你这的 mindset 就自己慢慢 automatic， 它就会来 automatic 就变成这样。所以非常的感恩，所以我也觉得我非常的。就是很渴望那个佛法，当下你看去了 Bradio 那边，我是来追着那个达玛的，因为我真的觉得，因为我听了 Bradio 的达玛，然后我就运用在我的日常生活中。
You can apply it to life and it helps you so much.
就一直在帮到我。So coming back to 我的 affinity， 我是想 share 这个 experience， 所以我要跟凯尔米达分享。
对。
Radio 的 physical class 是非常好，因为 last Tuesday 我去 Radio 那边，我几个星期因为生病没有去嘛。
对。
然后我去那边，然后我们就做那个 puja offering。
对。
And after that， 我们做完了普照 offering， 我一转身，我的心就跟地藏王菩萨来
杀掉啊。
And after that， when 我们做那个禅定，我就 start 我把那个 deep gratitude
现出来，
对，现出来，哇，很 deep 的 gratitude， 我就在，
yeah.
哇，你真的很难解释那种 deep gratitude，
对，杀掉，
那个菩萨 that you know really help and guide us 啊，哇
yeah.
然后我就直接躺下去 meditate 哦，就哇 go into stillness，
yeah。Very deep and very long. After I finished the meditation, I started the sharing. I saw you still lying down. Song also lying down until I finish. That's why when you are at the physical class, it's different. Especially at the Thursday class, Tuesday class, and the Sunday class. The nature there different one. Even here, the Thursday class. It's very, very amazing. Because the nature's condition, they're really, really different. So, 真的 those who came, they know. That's why 你看慧荣也是不停的来。
有 miss 的慧荣也是
没
有。没
有 miss 的，除非有事做， otherwise 他一定来。Somebody from Taiwan, no. No reason. That's why she herself say,对咯 brother， 他说这是前世因缘里面 very strong calling， otherwise 没有理由，没有 married， got children， got career， got husband， why alone come， and doesn't know really the rest except through kayamita ship and fellowship we get to know each other， and I think almost 15 over years now， 很久了 actually， and most of you all I think more than 10 over years already， so even I think BG Song Jin Hao Jupolian and LC that day Tammy came that's why I got condition， then Kok Lun also not bad, off and on he will come then in between, I think Han's sister, they are very consistent. And all this will manifest as causes and conditions for their future. Because what you do now, you may not realize the intensity of that wholesomeness, that training. But if you can develop it like what Alicia, they all share,motivate you until your nature really develop the virya, the sadha, the virya, the spiritual faculty to go all out. Then you stabilize your sati. And through all this, actually what today Alicia shared is very good. You all should develop them. Even I think early on some kayamita also share them. Like Po Cheng gone through and all those things.And many other kayamitas, even Song has become very different recently because he reached a stage where Dhamma continued to unfold and he received the understanding very fast now. Now only one word, two words, the Yoniso Manasakara becomes so different and she can understand very fast.And the transformation, the movement continue to evolve. So all these are very beautiful. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So Alicia, thank you so much for the good sharing and the good condition that you manifest. So for those who have the faith, listen to all this sharing. It can give you faith. And you can like act as a,pointer to motivate you all and develop the sadha virya to actually activate your nature inside so that it can become a living reality. Then your cultivation become very different. Then as you develop more and more of it, everyone is different. You don't have to follow. But what they gone through, you listen, then if it can click with your nature, and this is what you feel that you also want, you should actually make that vow and aspiration. That's why fa na zhong yuan. You must develop the vow for out of love and compassion for the living beings. You vow to develop this understanding so that you can also bring forth the causes and conditions to help living beings. Du zhong sheng, that one is very important. So the understanding and the cultivation, they are very important. Like Alicia say, once the right view is established, you won't become heedless anymore. You don't come out with all the wrong thought, go the negative way like before. That's why the right view transform you. When you have the right view, you vow never to be heedless again, because the suffering that come with it is so intense. And if that is not what you want, you better aditan once and for all, never to go back to that way, and never allow your mundane mind in whatever circumstances when you come to fall back to that heedless conditioning or way. Okay, now we share merit, transfer merit, then we end. Aka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana etta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati heto cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Ibina punyang kamina Mami bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.